You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigators Later.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right, almost halfway home, taking you until 10:35 tonight. The nightly sports call on KDK Plus, simulcast here on The Fan, is what we're leading you up until. Talking Steelers schedule release for the bulk of the first 2 hours. We'll probably touch on that a tad with our next guest. But we'll shift into the Pirates discussion with the Post-Gazette's Jason Mackey, who joined us now on The Fan Hotline. Hello, Jason.
What's up, Jack? How are you, man? Good evening.
Good evening.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you as well. Only if I got a chance to do this with you a couple of times, so happy to do so. We'll start with the Pirates, and then I'm curious to get your thoughts on the Steelers schedule, too. So, but as we start with the Pirates, and as they sit here on an off day before a series with Philadelphia, if you could, just try and summarize for me how you would assess, you know, the start to Don Kelly's managerial tenure for the Pirates.
Yeah, underwhelming, but I'm not going to say it's Donnie's fault. I'm rooting for Donnie. I like him a lot. I've gotten to know Donnie well. I think he's salt of the earth, just good people. I want it to go well for him, but it's the same problems, just in a different package, Jack. I mean, the offense is not good enough. They're not scoring enough runs. I know that's an obvious thing, but until they're able to do a better job hitting situationally, run creation. And I give Donnie credit. He's pushed all the buttons that he can, putting guys in motion, hitting behind runners, some sack bunts, that sort of stuff. It's not going to work. And it's a shame because they're wasting some really good pitching. The bullpen has been better. It's not exactly what you would want. But I mean, Donnie has worked a long time for this. He deserves this. I understand people might be upset about the Pirates. They should be upset about the Pirates. I'm not defending them, but you know, I want it to go well because I think it will reflect at least in some way on Donnie Kelly's career, where he goes next with his career, that sort of thing. And, you know, I look at Donnie Kelly's career or managerial time so far, and I don't think he's done anything wrong. I think these guys really want to play for him. I just wonder I'm concerned or whatever, you know, whether they have enough talent, whether they're deep enough. It doesn't look like it.
How about some of the differences you've noticed? I know you mentioned some of them, but with Don Kelly's way of doing things and Derek Shelton's, what sticks out to you the most?
He's, I guess, more hands-on might be how I would put it. If you're watching on TV, and I'll explain if you're not watching on TV, but if you're watching on TV, you'll see him talking to guys a lot more. And I think that's just the bench coach and Donnie coming out. That's been Donnie's role throughout his time here, to work with guys beforehand. And it's been funny covering the Pirates and just how much you see Donnie around doing things. I've joked with him about, you know, how many steps he gets in on a given day. He's just a blur. He's always around, always moving, always talking to people. And I don't think he's lost that. A lot of times you would see Shelton just standing in the corner of the dugout. He's not aloof by any stretch. I mean, Derek's a very intense guy, but it's a different sort of relationship with players that Donnie has versus what Shelty did. And I think Donnie's still trying to find that voice a little bit, but I've certainly noticed him being, you know, more active, more out in front, you know, I think stuff you can kind of get away with a little bit more, too. Not that Donnie's a substitute teacher, but I just think his relationship with some of these guys is a little bit different than it was with Shelton, so it's going to be natural. And again, I'll just hit the point earlier. They really like Donnie Kelly. I don't know if it's going to work, but I know that they have a lot of respect for Donnie Kelly, and for that reason, I'm kind of curious to see how this goes.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service provided trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. That's where Jason Mackey is right now. Jason, at what point, or are we there, do we get concerned with Brian Reynolds?
I think we're there. I go to this point. Like, he hasn't been good. I'm not defending it. He needs to be better, all that stuff. What are you going to do? I mean, are you going to trade him? Are you going to DFA him? Are you going to bench him? Like, I mean, I'd sit him. I'd sit him for a game just to let him get his head right. I've been around Brian a bunch, and he's very much a, it wouldn't surprise me if he comes in on Friday with no facial hair or some weird facial hair, or he shaved his head, or like he's going to do something odd. He's had a history of doing that, trying to, just kind of shake up the juju a little bit, and put him somewhere weird in the lineup, put him somewhere weird in the field if you can. I mean, I don't think they're going to try him at first base because I think Spencer Horwitz will be back for the Philly series, but something like that, something to just shake it up. Have him put a bunt down for crying out loud. I don't know. Somebody asked me today on my chat, what's wrong with Brian Reynolds or what do they need to do? And, it's not physical. He didn't suddenly just, forget how to hit. He's not injured to the point where it's inhibiting his swing. Like, it is all mental, man. Like, the guy is, He wants to do well. He wears it when the team is not doing well, and you need him to just calm down. And that's really easy for me to say on the radio, and it's very hard to do as a professional athlete. I don't take that for granted, but they need to find a way to just kind of change the optics a little bit, change the outlook, and he'll get there. To say I'm not concerned, that would be a lie. I just don't know what you can do, Jack.
And you talked about Spencer Horwitz, who's actually hitting the ball pretty darn well at AAA. A couple hits today in the day game for the Indians, hitting at 323, 817 OPS. When you say that you think we'll see him for the Philly series, is that as soon as tomorrow or more likely maybe this weekend?
I bet they bring him in tomorrow. I do. He might have one day left on his rehab assignment. The way baseball stuff works, generally you're going to get a guy, like if you want a guy to participate in the series, you're going to get him there for the start of the series if you can. I can't imagine what one more day would get Spencer Horwitz in the minor leagues. As you mentioned, he's hitting, they need a bat, flip the switch, let's go. I'm not in Philadelphia, Colin Beasley's there for us, but I fully expect Horwitz to be there.
Yeah, I mean, how much, what's a realistic spark, even if there is one, that he can provide? I mean, I guess if you really look at it in the grand scheme of the Pirates offense, any shred of 323 at the AAA level is a spark for what we've seen so far. But I guess, from your opinion standpoint, like what can we expect out of Spencer Horwitz, and where in the lineup do you foresee them putting him?
Yeah, I mean, 223 would be a spark at this point. If he can hit three home runs a game, that'd be great. I do think he's going to lengthen their lineup a little bit. And realistically, you could bat him fourth. You could bat him fifth. I wouldn't screw around with third. You're probably going to go some combination of Brian Reynolds and Joey Bart there. Some of it's contingent on O'Neill Cruz. I don't have a health update on him. I know they sent some stuff out in the middle of the game last night that did not include O'Neill Cruz. I would expect that Donnie Kelly gets asked about that on Friday. It's getting to the point where you probably need to do something or put him on the IL. Anyway, if we would operate with Cruz in the lineup, I'm going to do that just for it being kind of a safe bet. Let's say you go Cruz, Reynolds, Kutch, maybe Bart. You could put Horwitz fifth. They like Horwitz because he sees a lot of pitches. Of course they do. They like everybody who sees a lot of pitches. So, I mean, there was some talk about maybe leading off with him. I wouldn't do that. If O'Neill's healthy, he should be your one. If O'Neill can't go, I mean, maybe Horwitz becomes your leadoff hitter because he does see a lot of pitches. But ideally for the Pirates, they need this guy to drive in runs. That's what they're counting on. He's not a traditional power hitter. I mean, obviously people have seen him. He's not a gigantic guy, but he does have pretty good gap-to-gap power. He should be good for 15 to 20 home runs a year if he plays, is healthy for 162. So, I mean, I'm looking at him to be in that, you know, 4 or 5 spot, maybe 6, but late into their lineup a little bit. And some of that run production that they've been lacking, it sounds weird to say. I really do think Spencer Horwitz can help a little bit.
Certainly seems that way. Talking to Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette. He's with us on the fan hotline right now. Jason, Bubba Chandler, Cincinnati at home, Milwaukee next weekend or after that? Where do you see him maybe fitting into the Pirates pitching rotation at some point?
Well, my short answer is ASAP. I don't understand quite what we're doing here. If you do the math, I want to say his next start would fall. Help me out, Jack, but you're in front of a calendar and I'm not. Will his next start fall when they're at home? If it is, that's when you do it, would be my easy answer. And maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's next week, Cincinnati. I don't know what more this kid needs to show. I mean, he's got a sub-2 ERA, right? Shoved his last time out. We're there. He's built up. They've been probably overly cautious. I think he's probably getting antsy. The Pirates need a spark. I don't know what you do with your starting rotation, and frankly, I don't care. The Pirates need some dose of good news, positivity, and I think Bubba kind of represents that. You know, being around there, man, I mean, it's gotten a little bit better, but it's still a very tight group for understandable reasons. They just haven't played good baseball, and Bubba's a part of this thing, and he's a loose, fun personality. Guys really like him in that clubhouse. Deans wants him here. Jones wants him here. You know, he's a part of this thing just as much as those guys, so... I don't know where he fits. Again, I don't know whether that means you move Majinski to a bullpen role, you move Falter to a bullpen role, you try to shoehorn in 6 for a little bit. I don't know. But, you know, it's gotten to a point with Bubba where, like, let's give our fans something. Let's give Bubba something. Let's see how this looks and just kind of react to everything else. It's time, and they need a spark.
Yeah, he last pitched on, what's today, Thursday, Tuesday. So if you did the math, like, Monday,
the first Monday.
Yeah, the Monday would be his start. Now that's Keller's turn in the rotation. So would it be, and I guess on paper, when you look at it, like Majinski would be the odd man out into a bullpen role, maybe Falter. Is it one of those situations where if, you know, Monday is his turn, they just slide Keller to Tuesday and work from a 6 from that point and then segue Bubba in? Cause you're right. I mean, the start Tuesday, 5 scoreless, 8 strikeouts. I mean, he's ready.
Yeah, I mean, what are we doing here? And again, I mean, the Pirates have to look at this thing like their season's slipping away, because it is. they have to look at this in a way that, you know, should you make a move simply to placate your fans? Probably not, but you also don't typically have all the crap that has happened that the Pirates have. And you want to bring Bubba up and have him debut at home, obviously, and you want to give some lead time to that. That would be Pirates coming back in town, Bubba Chandler getting the ball on a Monday against the Reds. Otherwise, that game probably wouldn't draw a lot. Yeah, you could bump Keller back a day. And that's what I mean. Like, you know, you fit him in, then you work everything else accordingly. If you give him a day and you give him the ball on a Tuesday, that's fine too. I wouldn't have a huge issue with that. But again, I go back to what I said earlier, Jack. Like, what are we looking at here? The guy has the stuff. He's getting the results. He's been built up. I don't know what other box you need to check. And, you know, I don't think they're screwing with Super 2 stuff. You know, that's always a suspicion with the Pirates. It's been a suspicion with me, but they didn't do it last year with Jared. They didn't do it last year with Paul. And I don't think they're going to do it again with Bubba, but I also don't see what else they could be looking for out of him.
Pirates and Phillies tomorrow, 6:45. Ranger Suarez against Andrew Heaney as the Bucks start a series with the Phillies. Couple of lefties on the mound. All right, Jason, before we let you go, shift to the Steelers real quick. Your thoughts on the 2025 schedule. What'd you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, I found it interesting that it ends with a finishing kick again. Some difficulty down the stretch. I'm mixed on why that is. I mean, maybe that's the schedule makers wanting to test the Steelers. I also think there's a part of that where, you know, the Steelers maybe aren't what we thought they used to be. And so there's going to be a lot more teams there that provide a tough test for them versus teams that they can steamroll. I love the week 1 matchup. I'm already fascinated. I was looking at travel today for the Jets game. I think the NFL is also telling us a little bit of something there. You know, to me, that was a slight affirmation. about Aaron Rodgers. I didn't like the way they're navigating the Ireland thing. I don't understand going over there on a Friday, and I realize this isn't just their schedule. This is like the logistics of their schedule. But why they're not going over there early and getting acclimated to that and the bye week after it. It's awful early in the season. I'm not a huge fan of that. But, yeah, and I guess my last thought, Jack, is just I was kind of bummed about Thanksgiving. I was hoping for Thanksgiving in Detroit. I was even talking to my family about going there. I thought that was the way that was tracking. I'm thinking like, all right, we're down to like six games. That's not announced. They're playing the Lions at the Lions. You know, the Steelers do not have another holiday game. Man, that has Steelers in Detroit on Thanksgiving written all over it. But no, dude, unfortunately.
Yeah, part of me was a little bummed out like you, but in the grand scheme of things, I saw no holiday games, and we're getting ready to hire a de facto third sports person at TOV in Steubenville, which means I'll be able to get some holidays off come holiday season, so I'm okay in the grand scheme of things with that.
That works, too.
Hey, man, I appreciate you as always. You can check out Jason Mackey in the Post-Gazette. Thanks for hopping on, man. And for what it's worth, we had a texter as soon as you hopped on that was really fired up to meet you. I guess you came into their pizza shop a couple of days ago, and they were really happy that you came in, and you were very nice to them. So there you go. Congratulations.
I did. Oh, man, that was great. That was such a great – and my wife found out about this and now makes fun of me relentlessly. So great. Happy to meet anybody. I'm not a celebrity. But thanks, Jack.
All right, Jason. Good to see you. Thanks for good to talk to you. Thanks for hopping on. Jason Mackey, check him out in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. The second annual Fan 5-Alarm Marathon presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union will take place June 5th and June 6th. Joel, I'm jumping ahead here. I apologize. This year, the broadcast will take place at the Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department. Donate now at the 937thefan.com contesting page to help support a local volunteer fire department in your area. Brought to you by 1-800-BOARD-UP, the G.S. Jones Restoration, Dawn's Appliances, Julian Gray & Associates, and Centimark. There you have it. Caller before the break, Kevin in Hawaii is on the Fan. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, guys, what's going on? Glad to see you guys are getting some nice weather for once.
Yeah, no kidding. I got to play golf this morning, and it was very nice, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, hopefully you got under 90. I was going to say, I think we finally get spared the never-ending nightmare of never had a losing season this year. And I'm not going to predict individual weeks because Pittsburgh, if they get any kind of luck they've had the last 3 years where they played rookie quarterbacks early in the year, they didn't have to play starting quarterbacks late in the year because of injuries or the Ravens already clinched, et cetera. They'll get a couple of those. But I think at best they get 7 wins this year. And we're done with the nightmare, and then we decide whether or not we get rid of Tomlin finally or we give him one more chance to have another winning season with a better draft pick.
Kevin, do you think that because the Steelers quarterback situation is what it is, or are you concerned about the difficulty of the schedule?
So it's a little bit of a combination. So I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is worth 2 games. He might be worth 1 game if he gets a little lightning in a bottle. But Aaron played well a little bit late in the season against horrible defenses. And Austin, people got a look at a year tape on Austin. He's not going to surprise people with his speed like he did last year, especially at his size. He's going to get beat up over the middle. The one saving grace for the Steelers, honestly, is the running back they picked up in the third round. If they got lightning in a bottle with him, I think they get a chance to get to 8-9 or 9-8, but I don't think they're going to get there that quick because Tomlin doesn't like to play rookies early on. He never has.
Yeah.
And so the schedule is difficult. And I think the difference this year is I don't think you're going to have the same ridiculously bad Cincinnati defense, and I think you're going to lose both times. I think you're going to lose a couple of those revenge games that you got, with the Jets and whatnot. I've never said this as much as I think that Tomlin's overrated, and I call him average Mike T, and he's proven it year after year. This is the first year that I'm predicting that he actually finally falls below 500, unless they just get a rash of injuries on the back end of that schedule like they did 3 years ago when I think 7 out of the last 8 quarterbacks they play were backups.
Yeah, well, so
I
thanks for the call, Kevin. I disagree because I just think that by hook or by crook, Mike Tomlin will finish 9-8. I do agree with the sense that Aaron Rodgers doesn't give them much more from a win and loss standpoint than Mason Rudolph does. I think maybe two. Like, if you think Mason Rudolph is going to go 8-9, I think Aaron Rodgers gets you 10-7. I don't think the difference there is as drastic as some people are making it out to be. All right, coming up after the break, we'll take your phone calls, 412-928-9370. Your thoughts on the Steelers schedule. We were touching on the Pirates with Jason Mackey, who covered the team for a long time for the Post-Gazette. What are your thoughts on Bubba Chandler potentially making his major league debut here in the next week or so? 412-928-9370. Joel Nelson has a segment for us at the end of the hour. We'll get your phone calls next, but first a break and a headline, and we'll be back in a moment.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
One of the dumber takes I've heard in a while. Staring at 0-6 in the face. New York, New England. In the first 3 weeks, neither one of those teams made the playoffs last year. The Seahawks finished 10-7, but they did not make the postseason last year either. So the Steelers' first three games in 2025 were against teams that didn't make the postseason. Minnesota, tough test overseas. And then the Browns. Bare minimum, 2-4. And 2-4 would be incredibly underwhelming. I don't care if Mason Rudolph is the quarterback or not. The Steelers are not starting the season 0-6. Google's weird, and I couldn't figure out for sure if this was the last time, but here's a couple of examples for you. In 2014, Tampa Bay stunk. They finished 2-14. Mike Glennon took some lumps, and then they drafted Jameis Winston. They did not start 0-6. They started 1-6. And they had the 25th best defense in all of football. A Mike Tomlin-led team will not have that poor defense. Last year, the Steelers' defense was 13th in the NFL. And let's go through it. You've got Cam Hayward and Keanu Benton back. And I think we can all agree that eventually Derek Harmon will be an upgrade over Larry Ogunjobi. you've got Watt and Highsmith, best pass rushing tandem in the league, or if not one of the best. Noah Landon Roberts, but Cole Holcomb's back. Peyton Wilson's going to get better, and you still have Patrick Queen. And then in the secondary, Darius Slay and Joey Porter Jr., Minka Fitzpatrick, Juan Thornhill, and Deshaun Elliott. The defense is as good, and that defense finished 13th last year. A Mike Tomlin-led team will not finish 25th in total defense. And the last team for sure that I could find that started the season 0-6, and if you could safely do so, text in if you know for sure when the last team to start 0-6 was. The last one I could find was Tennessee. And if there was any year for the Steelers to start 0-6, it would end up being like the 0-9 Titans. Joel, the 0-9 Titans started 0-6 and finished 8-8. That would be typical Mike Tomlin to start 0-6 and get to 9-8. Or 8-9 even. But that Titans defense in 2009 was 28th in football. So I understand the fact that, yeah, Mason Rudolph is not the best and most desirable choice at quarterback in the eyes of Dan Orlovsky or in the eyes of Ryan Clark, who thinks Mike Tomlin shouldn't be the coach anymore. But this Steelers defense is not as bad as either one of those two teams that I mentioned. 25th and 28th in the league. So give me a break. I'm not saying that the Steelers defense is the best in football. It's got the potential to be incredibly good and perhaps elite. But even if the Steelers defense is middle of the pack through the first six games of the season, they ain't starting 0-6, Dan. Why don't you worry about staying in bounds, dropping back to pass in the end zone, buddy? Huh? How about that? Now, for the most part, I actually do enjoy Dan Orlovsky. That's just a very peculiar take in the eyes of yours truly. Joel, I had mentioned that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers started 1-6 in 2014. They only won two games. One of them against?
The Pittsburgh Steelers on a Vincent Jackson RIP late touchdown from Mike Glennon.
27-24, September 28, 2014. I forgot all about this game. And, you know, we talk about Tomlin specials all the time. That was one. The only other game that the Bucs won that year was Week 10 at Washington. Ironically enough, this really bad Tampa team that was selecting number one in the draft the following year won both of its games on the road. I guess that's neither here nor there. Yeah, Vincent Jackson with 7 seconds left. Jump ball from Mike Glennon, 27-24, game over. Just to have a little fun here. Ben, 29 of 40, 314, three touchdowns. He was sacked five times, so that probably had a lot to do with it. Did you know Antonio Brown attempted a pass in this game? Did they fake a punt, or was that a trick play? I don't remember.
I know Brown caught a couple of touchdowns in the game. One of them a really cool, like one-handed stab on a pass interference.
Dude, how did they lose this game?
Yeah,
Ben was 314 and three touchdowns. AB, 7 for 131 and two touchdowns. Le'Veon had 19 carries for 63 yards. This was LeGarrette Blount Steelers era as well. He had 4 carries for 25 yards in that game. Man, oh man.
If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure Mike Evans caught his first career touchdown in that game as well.
Would that have been his first career touchdown? Because that was the first score of the game.
I think that was his first career touchdown. Was Doug Martin on the Tampa Bay team?
He was.
He must have had a really good game if the Steelers defense was the part that really stunk for them.
13 for 40 and a touchdown. Mike Glennon was only sacked once, and Ben was sacked five times. So that, again, that probably had a lot to do with it. And Mike Glennon was able to spread the ball around. Lewis Murphy, 6 catches for 99 yards. Mike Evans a touchdown, Vincent Jackson, again, rest in peace, Vincent Jackson, the game-winning touchdown in that game. The fact of the matter is this. The Steelers aren't bad enough, not quite bad enough, to start the season 0-6. Could they have a losing season? Absolutely. I don't think so, because Mike Tomlin is the Steelers coach, and that guy will always finish with a winning record. But the opinion is certainly justified to think that the Steelers finish 8-9 or 7-10 if Mason Rudolph is the starting quarterback. I just don't think it's going to happen. But hopefully what we can all agree on is that this team is not bad enough to finish 0-6. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Coming up next, Joel Q. Nelson. Joel, what's your middle name?
Thomas, after Frank Thomas.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
My brother's middle name is Jordan, after Michael Jordan.
That's pretty darn cool. Well, regardless of what your middle name is, Joel's got a topic for us next. We'll discuss. 412-928-9370 is the number as well. Phone lines are wide open as far as the Steelers schedule and the Pirates are concerned. Dan Kangurski of Pittsburgh Hockey Now will join at the top of the hour to talk about the latest in the Penguins coaching search. But for now, we take a break and we'll come back with Joel's segment after this.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigators Later.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Joel, before we get to your segment, an incredible, incredible thing just happened to me. The masses might not necessarily love this story or even give two craps about it, but I have to tell it. So I was covering a high school football game in October, right? As you do if you work in small market television, and it's that time of year. We had just gotten new camera equipment probably about a little over a year ago. The latest model of the insert expensive television camera here comes with all the bells and whistles, wireless mics attached to each camera, and a light at the top of each camera as well. So if you need to be on camera when it's dark out, you put the light on. If you're like me and you work in sports and you shoot a lot of your own footage, I don't love shooting highlights with that light on top. So if I'm not in dire need of it, I take it off the camera. Covering a football game, again, this was in October, obviously. Live shot in our newscast at 5 and 6 before. Stay there, shoot the game. So I used the light for the live hit, took it off, shot the game. I took the light off my camera and must have left it in that stadium somewhere. Couldn't find it. Went back, texted like grounds crew guys that I knew, coaches that I knew. Have you seen anything that looks like this? Nobody could find it. Right? This is actually in Steubenville, Harding Stadium in Steubenville. And it's not necessarily a cheap piece of equipment. So I was really, really upset with myself that I lost it. The other gentleman I work with, sports director Rob, texted me, who is working tonight, stopped on the way back to the station to grab food. Just went into this place, and on our way in, a Steubenville Central football assistant stopped us. So Harding Stadium is shared by Steubenville Big Red and Steubenville Catholic Central. So this is an assistant coach from Steubenville Catholic Central. Sends me a picture of the light.
Oh my gosh.
The guy had it and kept it on him. He's like, I just kept it on me in case I would run into one of you guys.
Well, well, well.
And it, I guess it still works.
Well, well, well.
And how about that? So that makes me feel a little bit better about myself after losing a several hundred dollar piece of equipment that I didn't own.
So that was missing for what, how many months now?
It had to have been this time October, so 8 months.
Wow.
7 months, yeah.
Well, you're off the hook on that one.
Makes me feel a little bit better about myself. All right. Off the soapbox, back to the sports. Joel Nelson's got a topic. Go for it, my friend.
Pirates and Phillies this weekend, and we can get the texters involved in this as we normally do.
Is this going where I think it's going?
You got it. How many Pirates and Phillies players can we name? I will start with Charlie Morton.
AJ Burnett.
Good pick.
And we're going to get flooded in the text line with, did baseball start in 2005 for you? Yeah, it might have. Let us off the hook. Do you have one? Do we want to alternate or do we just want to go rapid fire?
I'd say rapid fire.
Bailey Falter.
And Rodolfo Castro. He was in that trade too.
Yes, he was.
He didn't make many games with Philadelphia. I don't even know if he's on their roster anymore, but.
Well, his cell phone flew. Actually, it was an issue with his iPad in Philadelphia. I don't know if you heard about that.
No.
No, I'm
that's
kidding.
That's news to me. What?
I'm kidding. Oh. Andrew McCutchen.
Oh my gosh, that's right. Neil Walker. He spent a little time with the Phillies.
Did he?
There was, and I remember, like, Bryce Harper. There was a game against the Mets in 2020.
If you just look him up on Google, the first thing that pops up is him in a
either 2020 or 2021, Bryce Harper got ejected against the Mets, and he's going off on the umpire or whatever, and Neil Walker is kind of there restraining him from, you know, like, any further potential penalty or fine, suspension, whatever.
Did Wandy Rodriguez play for the Phillies?
Your guess is as good as mine. Charlie Morton, AJ Burnett, Rodolfo Castro, Bailey Falter, Neil Walker, Andrew McCutchen, and
I don't know if Wandy, I'll look it up in a second, but I know somebody that was on those Wandy Rodriguez era teams that pitched for the Phillies and the Pirates. The Vanimal. Wow. Vance Worley.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about him. He was with Miami too, I want to say.
Yeah, I think the Pirates got him from Philadelphia. Wandy Rodriguez did not. He finished up with the Rangers after coming to the Pirates from Houston.
Bob Walk. A lot of people chiming in on the text line. Bob Walk.
Oh, yeah.
Eric Kratz. Jose Mesa.
Jose Mesa is a good one. Jose Mesa finished up with the Pirates, if I remember correctly. It was definitely towards the end of his career. Yeah, Bob Walk we should have gotten from the get-go. That's on us.
I wonder if he'll be in Philadelphia on one of the networks.
Making an appearance.
You would think so, yeah.
I might be tapped here. The Yankees was a little bit more doable. That's the last one we did it with, right? Home opener weekend?
I think so, yeah. The Yankees. Man, it's been that long.
I'll tell you what, though. I don't think the Pirates and the Phillies necessarily have a rivalry anymore. Maybe
it's
a little
not.
Bit more. Yeah, maybe a little bit more back in the day. I loved the Red Sox growing up and the then Indians because those were the teams like that I would play for in our local rec coach pitch league. But something about that Phillies team in 08 that won the World Series. Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, the Flying Hawaiian, Shane Victorino, Ryan Howard, and then that unbelievably good pitching rotation.
I don't know about you. I mean, I had some friends in middle school who were Phillies fans. And so, you know, you sort of become a Phillies fan too while they were in those back-to-back World Series in 2008, 2009.
Yeah. Andy Van Slyke on the text line. We missed out on him. Didn't he play for the Yankees too? Or am I making that up? I feel like we got that
in
the text line as well. How many did we end up with so far?
Oh my gosh. Sean Rodriguez and Josh Harrison.
Sean Rodriguez did play for the Phillies.
Jay Hayda had a cup of coffee with them too.
I'm trying to think more.
Those utility
guys,
man. Those utility guys and relief pitchers. Relief pitchers who are like not leverage relief pitchers. They bounce around, dude.
Did Ronnie Paulino end up with the Phillies at one point too?
I don't know when that would have been. That was before I got into baseball.
Ronnie Paulino is he a coach with the Orioles? He did not end up with the Phillies. I'm just throwing names out on a wall and hoping they stick. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm tapped. Dave Cash, Gary Varshow. Who else did we miss? John Lieber. You missed him on the text line as well. All right.
I thought I would have come up with some more pitchers and never did.
I thought I would too. I'm glad that I remembered the Vanimal, Vance Worley.
I feel like we're
missing like a reliever too. Who did we not get for the Yankees? Was that did we miss AJ Burnett?
I think we did.
Yeah.
I'm glad we were able
to get him with the
I'm glad you did that too.
With the Phillies. Jason Grilley played for a bunch of teams, but Philadelphia was not one of them.
Corey Dickerson.
That was they bought at the deadline for that guy, didn't they? 2014, or was
that the Phillies or the Pirates did?
Who was that other guy that Ryan Ludwig? Was he a Philly too at one point?
I think so.
No, he was with the Reds. He finished up in Cincinnati, and the Pirates traded for him from San Diego.
Oh, I just remembered off the top of my head, Vince Velasquez. He had that one season with the Pirates before that major elbow surgery.
It wasn't even a season. He had like maybe a half dozen starts.
Something like that. And then his elbow sort of gave out.
Is he even in baseball anymore?
I don't know if he...
No.
I wonder if he went to the White Sox after the Pirates?
No, he was with the White Sox in 22. 8 starts for the Pirates in 23. But after a year in Houston, he spent, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.5 seasons with Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Whenever, so Vince Velasquez is a good pull.
Whenever he retires, it'll be with the Phillies.
Yeah, shout out to Sean from Franklin, Corey Dickerson. Yeah, we should have gotten Bob Walk. That's the glaring omission that we had to go to the text line for, and then we had to go to the text line for AJ Burnett as well.
There's always one. There's always one. And every single team, there's always going to be that one.
Yep. All right, Jolie.
That was good.
Always enjoy that. We will shift into hockey talk when we return. Dan Kangurski of Pittsburgh Hockey. Now, what is going on with the Penguins? We know that Kyle Dubas mentioned at the press conference after Mike Sullivan was relieved of his duties that it would take a while. It would take maybe towards the middle of June, beginning of June, because they might want to interview some candidates or be interested in some candidates that might be on staffs both in the AHL or NHL that are still trying to win in the postseason. But are the viable and realistic candidates list, is that dwindling? We'll ask Dan Kangurski about that coming up next. Listen to Pomp and Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday, 12 noon at the 937thefan.com contesting page. Dan Kangurski of Pittsburgh Hockey Now is next. We're going to take a break and we'll come back in a moment on Sports Radio 937 The Fan.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.